Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
It's happening.
Monday. Happy Monday, except for we never hardly ever record on a weekend, but it is Saturday for us people because we had to get through the Murdaugh trials all the way before we could record.
Yeah. And I would like to apologize to the people because, you know, people kept talking to us about the Murdaughs. And we were like, I don't know. It seems kind of dark. Maybe we're not into it.
Yeah.
We're dumb. Okay. are so dumb. We are so into it now. It's stupid.
It's true. It just seemed like so overwhelming, right, at first. And then it was, I mean, we have been told about this case since the boat crash. I mean, Not even when he was found on the side of the road. So it was like one thing after another and another. And you know how Gretchen and I are, as soon as we get into it, it's like all that consumes our life. And I think we were a little scared of that.
Yeah.
And then it happened. And so, yes, I was able to find out there was two reasons we're recording on a Saturday. It's because during the trial, when the jury came back, I was in my storm shelter because there was a tornado rolling through the Dallas area. And I made my kids all sit there and watch YouTube live to mm-hmm. see it. And then my power went out for what, like 36 hours or something. So we couldn't record.
So annoying.
And it came back on late last night. And so here we are today to give it all to you.
Yeah. She tried complaining to me about this whole storm shelter business while I was being tortured. I think even more so because I was on a sleepaway field trip.
Again, you were. Again on that damn boat.
On the damn boat for the other kid. That's the problem with having twins. Got to do everything twice. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So you were on that boat. And basically, I think we were in the same kind of situation. You probably did have power, which I didn't, but
I did get some side eyes because you're supposed to be back in like 1836 or something, you know? So they give you this whole lecture about, you know, no phones out, no blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, but the Murdaugh trial verdict is coming in. I'm like, you have to text me because I can't be seen like looking at like TMZ. I have to be able to be like, oh, it's something really important. That's why I'm looking at my phone.
She was like, I can't use my phone. Please text as soon as you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, we'll get into all of that in just a minute. But yeah, so we've had a couple really crazy few days, but okay, so listen, if anybody has back problems, which Gretchen, you have had back problems.
Yes.
Before. I have been having this problem with my upper back for probably, I would say, 6 months now. And it kind of goes on and off. Some reason when we're on vacation, it goes away, which it's like, well, maybe because I'm not stressed on vacation and whatever.
But although I would say that's not true because sometimes you're more stressed out on vacation.
Oh, so true. So true. There's a lot more to have to do on vacation. You know, I'm expected to perform a little bit on a higher standards on vacation.
If you know what I mean.
And so anyhow, and you're with your kids 24/7, which is
stressful.
Yeah. Okay. But my back doesn't hurt. So I told my husband it's the bed. And he I know is just thinking like that is an expensive back problem because you got to get a new mattress and those things are not cheap. But
I know.
Please tell me, everybody, what mattress is the best for the upper back, because that's where my issue is.
Well, first of all, I think you need, I see those mattress commercials all the time. They have like a, you know, like a really long guarantee. Yeah, I know. But they have like a guarantee, like you can have the mattress for a year. So that's what you need. You need one of those, like, if this is not working for me, I can send it back to you. But also, I feel like you have to start with like a good back. So you need to go get some massages, like get it all.
I've been going to the chiropractor every day, by the way. And then that's what my husband said, because today or last night I slept on the couch just to see. And he goes, you don't think it's because you've been going to the chiropractor every day? And I'm like, yeah, a little.
Yeah, I think a little too, because I think if those chiropractors can't work out it out in like one or two cracks, then I think they like get you addicted and then you have to keep coming back. So then I think sometimes they do more damage than good. Not all chiropractors, but some of them are chiro crooks.
Chiro crooks. Like, well, I did see my x-rays. My shoulders are one's higher than the other and all this stuff. So anyways, whatever. I'm going to get it figured out. But I think the mattress is the main culprit.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I also, you know how I had strep throat going around? I like reinfected my child because I didn't change out his toothbrush head and he forgot to use the throwaway toothbrush. And
can you like reinfect yourself after?
Okay. Listen, I thought that was hocus pocus, whatever the doctor told me that. And I was like, oh, yeah, right. Right. Dude, no shit. Like, I was like, how did this happen again? He was like, I use my toothbrush. I was like, it's true.
You know, I'm actually impressed that your kid did brush his teeth, because you know how it works around my house? Every once in a while, I mean, my girls are pretty good. Actually, they're almost too good. They like put their brother in check and are like, come in here and clean up the toilet seat. You'll have pee on you.
Yeah.
You know, like good. Whatever. But the boy will sporadically come up and blow his breath in your face.
Oh, no. And it's awful.
No.
Oh.
And it's good. He does it to show you that he brushed his teeth. And you're like, damn it. I don't think you've done that blow in my face thing for like a month.
I make sure they all brush their teeth. I'm like, that is pretty important.
Tell them, but I'm not very good at the follow through.
Yeah. I'm usually not good at follow through with anything. So brushing your teeth is good. But my kids, I'll tell you, they do not want to take a shower ever.
Ever. Ever.
The boys
like
are,
it's torture. Ever.
It's torture. I'm like, you guys, it feels so good to take a shower. Seriously. So yeah, that's my thing. And then like, meh, they don't have to take a shower every day. Fine. They're boys. It doesn't really matter. And, you know, although my son did get sick twice in the last week, I think that they don't get sick that often because of it.
You do?
I do. Yeah. I think
we got a situation around here because my son doesn't want to be wearing the chonies.
Your kids don't ever want to wear chonies.
I'm like, you have to be wearing them to school. And so he was like on it for like 2 days. And then he's like, I'm like, have you been wearing underwear? So he's like, yeah. I'm like, liar. Because I just did the laundry. And I only found one pair, buddy.
Oh my gosh. And you're like, I hope you do not take a shower and wear the same pair over and over and over again. So.
Oh, so funky.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, boys
maybe we should
boys.
Talk about something more not funky.
Oh, no. This is funky.
Oh,
this
funky,
is as funky as it gets, but let's get into it.
Okay.
Okay. Like we said, a million of you have asked us to cover this case. And since we already also told you it's the Murdaugh murders, and the way they say Murdaugh is all kinds of which ways. So, you know, they say Murdaugh, Murdaugh, Murdaugh. Well, how do you want to pronounce it, Gretch?
I think we ought to say it like from the words of Alec himself, Murdaugh and Papa.
Murdaugh. Oh my God. Puke.
Listen, and we know this case is like everywhere and oversaturated. So I think we're going to try and put our own, like, our personal takeaways.
Yes. Okay. So some of you have commented on our Facebook group that you don't really know about it and you're interested in hearing. Good. So that's great. I had a hard time finding anything that was one wrap up real quick, one episode type of thing, except like, you know, the Netflix was 3 episodes, HBO was 3 episodes. The podcasts that are on it are multiple episodes. So I just wanted to
bang my head against the wall with the podcast.
I just wanted to wrap it up in one fair swoop of an episode. But the crimes, and it's multiple crimes, right? There's like a lot of shit that these people have. They have a lot of skeletons in their closet, this family. But I'm going to condense it for you. And so I think that all of you out there that have done a ton of research, have watched the entire trial, know way more than I'm going to say. Just know that I'm putting the facts out that I think are pertinent to the case. There are a lot of facts, but I'm not going to talk about all of them. Also, it's a little bit different of an episode because Gretchen does know about this case. So we're going to talk about it together.
Yes.
Instead of just me telling her things that she doesn't know, because she does know, which is kind of fun. It's more of like that Scott Peterson episode that we did.
Oh, God, don't say his name. Then it starts coming.
Don't come at you. Okay. Who knows? Some people might even think that this one went the wrong way.
Listen, for the record, I never said he's like totally innocent. I just said he deserves a retrial.
Okay. I think you might be right on that. He
like
did get
clarity.
Death penalty, right?
The death sentence changed. Yeah.
He did get it changed, but that was his original verdict, which, by the way, probably shouldn't have been. It should have been life in prison. To me, they're the same thing, especially in California, but you know, maybe they go to a different
place. Listen, Alec Murdaugh got life.
I know. And, you know, the judge said that he could have been, it was a death sentence case. Like he could have given him the death sentence. So let's go back and start with the Murdaugh family. This family's legacy goes way back, but we are going to specifically talk about Alec Murdaugh, or that's what he goes by, Alec, even though that's not even his name, but okay. Maggie Murdaugh, which is the wife, and their two sons, Paul and Buster. By the way, what do you think of that name, Buster?
Well, that's not really his name. His name is really Alex or something. But it's one of those things, Buster, it's Bubba, whatever. It's like,
well,
listen,
that's his great-grandpa's name.
That's going to be, so that's your, it doesn't sound very professional to me.
No, but that's what
I feel like. Buster is like the security guard at a rodeo. It's like a Bubba name. I don't feel like Buster is the lawyer he was trying to be. It's not a good name. I don't want Lawyer Buster.
Yeah, but Lawyer Buster.
I want Buster to cook my barbecue ribs.
Right. But Buster was previously, there was a Buster that was the town solicitor years and years prior. So that's where he got his nickname from.
Okay. I don't have to like Alec it. And,
you know, you don't have to like it. And I think in current times, I would probably forego the Buster also.
I think a lot of people make the mistake of giving their kids names that are just like, yeah, it's a real cute little kid name. But how does that shake out when you're an adult?
Okay. Well, listen, my daughter plays volleyball with a girl and her nickname is Butter. And that is what they call her. Like there is no other name that they call her. I don't even know her first name.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Butter is necessarily a good name as a teenager.
Yeah. Even it's my kids go to school with a little girl named Poppy, which I think is like the cutest name, mm-hmm. but I just don't know if it like Poppy for president. I don't think it's a real power name.
It's definitely not,
you know?
And just that's probably her real name. Like,
yeah, it is her
Butter.
Real name. Yeah, no,
at least
and she
Butter
is
has
cute.
A real name.
Yeah.
Okay. I do like the name Poppy. It's
it is really cute.
But it's cute for a baby.
Yeah.
A little kid. Okay. Yeah. So anyways, Alec and Maggie, they were a prominent couple in the Low Country of South Carolina. If you are not familiar with this area, I wouldn't be surprised because I wasn't familiar either. It's a cluster of small counties grouped together in the southern part of South Carolina. According to Southern Living magazine, it consists of Beaufort, Jasper, Colleton is how they say it, I think, and Hampton counties. However, some say that they push it further up to include Charleston and Pawsley Island. When I was reading this article in this magazine, it felt like if you were part of the Low Country, you were in the bougier area. I could be wrong. I really have no clue.
Interesting, because I thought North Carolina is supposed to be... Oh, my! You know, I could get confused. I do have a friend from the Carolinas, and I know when you confuse the two, she gets real like, record scratch.
Yeah.
They're different.
I also have a friend too. And then it's like, I'm like, oh, shit. I don't know. Right. I've never been there. Yeah. But whatever way it is, I think that this little area has a class system and where you have the rich and powerful. And then you have the lower middle class that some would consider poor side of country folk. But whether you are rich or poor, you are country.
Yeah.
The Murdaughs were rich and powerful ones in the Low Country. And they, by all accounts, played that lifestyle up. They owned multiple houses. They traveled to exotic lands. They owned boats. They loved to hunt and fish. And they also owned a law firm, and they also did control that land for over 100 years. You see, in 1910, great-great-great-grandpa something, Murdaugh, started a law firm in the area. From there, his son, Randolph Murdaugh Sr., ran and won the open solicitor seat in 1920. So a solicitor, which... is something I also did not know what it was. Did you know before this case?
No.
A solicitor is a district attorney who prosecutes all criminal cases in that jurisdiction, which included 5 counties. So it's a pretty powerful position, I would say. Mm-hmm. They are real high-powered individuals.
For that area.
And they... Yeah. Consume all things law. I mean, they prosecute every single criminal case. This great grandpa, he died in a car accident in 1941. And that's when his son took over until 1986. And then his son took over, who is Alex Murdaugh's father. And he held that position until 2005. And he left the solicitor position and joined his family's law firm. That brings us back to the start of that at 1910. Okay, so you can see this family's legacy goes way back, and they were known in all law enforcement. Even this judge that came, he must have been brought in from a different jurisdiction to oversee this trial, but even he knew who they were. You know, he was like, listen, we have been in the same areas. I can't believe I'm sitting here with you as the defendant, as the criminal in this case. So, and the judge said that because this family looked like a picture perfect family when you see all those pictures, right? It's the two sons, the mother in her fancy clothes, the attorney dad, Alec, all buttoned up.
I don't trust people that be tucking their shirts in all the time. If you don't have a single picture untucked, I'm not with it.
Dude, I had a friend back in California, and the mom was telling me she wanted to take photos on the beach for their Christmas card. And the dad would not ever do it. And he had to wear a blue suit in every single family photo. That's it.
Divorce.
Divorce. I don't think you would even have married that.
Never.
I know you. Okay. So Buster was the oldest son, and he was following in his father's footsteps. Paul, the younger son, well, he was a bit of a wild one. He was attending college in 2019, but it wasn't look like he was going for the town solicitor seat anytime soon, as this kid liked to party. And by the ripe old age of 19, I think he already had a drinking problem, which seems so foreign to have a drinking problem that early. However, when I look back, I'm like, oh yeah, we could tell who had drinking problems at that time in our friend group.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are now dead because of it.
True.
So this drinking problem, I would say, led to uncovering his family's legacy and the legacy of secrets, I mean, because it all started when a tragic accident happened the night of February 23rd, 2019, when a group of Paul's friends and their girlfriends went to go to a party. Paul decided he would take his family's boat upriver to the party so they could bypass any DUI checkpoints that night. I'm sure the girls were not pleased because getting on a boat messes up your hair, but they're 19, so they just went along with their boyfriends because that's kind of what we do at 19.
Mm-hmm.
Although maybe not anymore. Me and you would do
it. I don't know. I was never cool with like, I mean, I don't like drunk driving and I don't like drunk driving on boats.
Well, no, but I'm saying just like doing
so it's like if the point is to avoid
hair.
Like so we can be drunk and then
right.
you're gonna like drink and drive on a boat. It's like that's like a worse to me.
Listen, I'm not saying that. I don't think either. Oh, dude, like I would never get you guys. I would never get in cars with people that were drunk.
Never.
So much so that I was 17 or no, I didn't even have my license yet. So I must have been like 15. I went to the movie theater outside. What's that called? Drive-in with this guy. And he was drinking beers. And I didn't know how to drive, much less a stick shift at this time. And I was like, I'm not going home with you. He was like, what? I'm like, you just drank beers. He's like, I'm not drunk. I'm like, I don't care. So I had to drive. He's like, fine, drive my truck home. And I think it took me like 5 times to get through one stoplight because I couldn't get it out of like, the clutch out.
Oh, my God.
So, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we would go on a boat when we didn't want to get our hair messed up with our boyfriends because. We
oh, yeah, sure. Shit of course. Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, so these girls did know that there was going to be alcohol involved because Paul goes to the gas station and buys some beers with his brother's ID and. They get on the boat and they're partying all the way up to the party. At the party, Paul is doing beer bongs and he gets super sloshed. At the end of the party, most of the 6-pack of kids didn't want to go home in Paul's boat. They did want an Uber because it was clear that Paul was too drunk to be driving that boat. Paul says, no, he can't leave his boat there and he needs to get it back to the dock that they guys brought it in. So the 5 friends are really not into going back on the boat, but they do it anyways.
Which is kind of interesting because it is like what they all say was there was no arguing with him. He was just a real asshole. He was like this entitled dickhead that was like, if you guys don't do this, I'm going to throw some kind of fucking fit.
Yes.
Power trippy little shit. And so they all just were like, well, it's probably easier than dealing with the repercussions of whatever he's going to do.
Right. And Paul brought the fun, right? Paul had the toys. Paul mm-hmm. had the hunting house. Paul had all this stuff. So you didn't want to make him mad because you wanted to enjoy the fun. Right?
Well, and he was so much so, like, I'm not exaggerating him being a dickhead. He was so much so a dickhead that night when his girlfriend asked him to not drive the boat, he slapped her and spit on her.
Yeah, he did that. He, which is so, I mean, I think that is the straw. Well, I think his girlfriend put up with a lot of stuff before this because of what I just said. Like, they took her on vacations and they did all this nice stuff for her. And so she just dealt with his bad behavior instead of putting him in check, you know?
Yeah.
But along the way, Paul wants to stop at a bar and he gets even more drunk. And that's when he turned into what they called Timmy, right? They said when he gets wasted, he turns into a somebody else. And that's also when he spit and slapped on his girlfriend because they did not want him driving. He started doing shit like donuts in the middle of the river. And, you know, I have seen people that do stupid stuff like this when they're drunk. I personally would think if I got in a car and I, or a boat or something, I would be so freaking nervous that
terrified.
I would like be driving like a grandma, you know, but there are other people that just think life doesn't end.
Yeah.
And you can do whatever the hell you wanted. And that is what Paul did. And so people tried to take over the wheel. They were getting really angry with him. And instead of him, you know, just saying like, you're right, you know, Cody, take over the wheel or whatever, he decides to get pissed at his girlfriend and then guns it. And as he gunned it, he slammed the boat into a bridge. And you can imagine all six of these teenagers went flying. Everyone was hurt. But one girl, Mallory Beach, she was missing. She was thrown out of the boat and it was too dark for them to see. And the river is fast. Her boyfriend immediately jumps in the water. The other kids call 911.
911, where's your emergency? Hello? Police, fire, any of us? Hello? Tell everybody just try it and stay as calm as they can, okay? I know it's hard.
All five of us are on the same boat, but we're missing one person.
Right, okay.
Please send someone.
No, I'm coming. We're coming, okay?
So you can hear, I mean, it was crazy. Once the officers arrive, they take the kids to the hospital, except for the boyfriend, Mallory's boyfriend, because he refuses to leave until they find Mallory. Also, on the body cam footage that I'm going to play right now, he is so pissed at Paul.
Yeah.
Bro, you fucking smiling like it's fucking funny. Sit down. My fucking girlfriend's gone, bro. Sit down. You think it's fucking funny?
Sit down.
Hope he's right fucking hell.
You can also hear him saying like, Murdoch, that's Murdoch. Good luck. You know?
Yeah.
And what he means is just that, like, this kid is not going to help be held accountable for his actions because those Murdochs never are. They were known for getting away with anything, and talk on the street was that the Murdochs can make you disappear. And I think it's true.
Yeah.
This family has, they have tried so many capital murder cases that they did make people disappear. They held the death penalty on so many people. And by the way, probably people that were innocent.
Yeah.
Okay. So back at the hospital, Paul has since called his grandfather, who shows up with his dad. And these two immediately go to work covering up for their son. I mean, God forbid Paul would be held responsible of a death of a young, beautiful girl. They tried to pin it on another boy that was in the boat, who actually tried to drive the boat, but Paul wouldn't let him. They went room to room acting as their attorneys, which is so freaking bananas to me. And then they tried to tell all of them not to say that Paul was driving. Well, who the fuck was driving if Paul wasn't driving?
They just thought that they could create enough confusion that they would never be able to prove that Paul was driving the boat and this would just go away. Because that's what problems usually how it usually works for them is problems just go away. It is mind blowing that you do not see an ounce of compassion out of them for this little girl, Mallory, who they've probably, it's a small town, you know, like they've probably known since was a child.
Yes, I'm sure they have. And you know what? Also, it's not just the dad and the grandpa. It's Paul himself. And it's the mom. The mom gets in the car with the boyfriend's mom at one point, remember? And she's like, she just has no compassion whatsoever. Her face is just like, well, what if they don't find her? It's like, what? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like we are missing a teenage girl here. We as just podcasters that talk about this stuff, I mean, you don't even know these people, right? But when we do cases, sometimes we get very emotional because it is so sad. And especially for this girl, I mean, she had her life just at the fingertips of life. You know, she right. just had so much more to live. So it was really sad. They ended up finding Mallory Beach over a week later, 5 miles down the river. Technically, Paul is a murderer at this point. And by the way, I mean, there was no denying that Paul was the driver. It just, the kids were not going to lie for him at the end of the day. And the way that everybody fell out of the boat, it's like Paul was driving. So he was indicted on 3 felony counts and he was set to go to trial, but he never actually stepped foot in a jail cell, which is crazy. He never was handcuffed. And his booking photo was like in his collared shirt, which people say is just, it's crazy. You never see that. I don't know. I mean, I have never seen that, but it's also a small town. Maybe there's more than one that have not in a jumpsuit. I don't know.
Just side note though, if God forbid one of my kids was in this situation and they were did something stupid like drive and somebody, one of their friends was missing or something, the last thing on my mind would be, how am I going to, what repercussions is going to happen for my kid? Like, of course, yeah, you're going to jail. Something is happening, but the bigger picture is somebody's dead.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get my kid out of it. I'm sorry. Like, I will love you, visit you, put all the commissary money, but you have got to be accountable. If I get you out of it, you're going to the hot place for sure. There is no chance. This is where we always differ. This is where we always differ.
We do.
But I am going to hold my children accountable. You yes. call me when you're drunk, but you get your ass in jail, I'm not bailing you out if you did something to harm someone else.
I think that we have to make sure that our kids do not drive drunk. There is no reason. I mean, just in this case alone, they're like, we could have Ubered. Well, no shit. Then you Uber. Like, yeah. Do not get in that car. Do not get in that boat. Do not put yourself in that position.
Well, you know, it really
is. No matter what.
It really is a cautionary tale for all of us that what we can do to pass this on is, the fact is every single person on that boat was drinking. And the game plan was to let this person who they knew had a drinking problem drive them home. Yeah. And I'm not blaming any of them because I certainly made dumb decisions, you know, when I was that age too. But what we all need to get in the habit of doing is have a safe plan to get home.
Yeah.
From the get, you know?
From the get, right.
Because yeah, before you start drinking and you're not thinking clearly too.
Yes. And you know that Timmy comes out. So right. Let's not put Timmy in yeah. the position to try to get you home.
Right.
Yes, I agree. And they all were underage, but also, I mean, we drank when we were underage.
Sure.
Allegedly, not really. Don't come for me. But, you know, people do it. So we can't hide the fact that people do drink underage. I don't think that is the biggest deal in this, but it is a big deal that we are letting somebody that we know has a drinking problem drive us.
Yeah.
The fact that all that, you know, that he didn't go to jail, didn't have handcuffs, all that, it rubbed people the wrong way. It was like the Murdoch get out of jail free card playing right in front of everybody's eyes in a state of, you know, it's just so heartbreaking when a young person dies. And I think that's really where everybody was like, what? You know, like he's, of course he gets off. But Paul, and he wasn't, I mean, he was going to go to trial. We do not know how the trial was going to play out because
the trial date had not even been set. So we don't know actually if it was really going to go to trial. And what Mallory Beach's mother has said is, you know, all she, because they've lived around this arrogance for so long, is all she wanted was to see him get on the stand and say sorry. She didn't even care what they did
to
him.
He was never going
to
do that.
Yeah.
They don't.
That's what's sad.
This family, I don't think, is sorry for anything.
Anything.
I don't know if it's the legacy of putting people behind bars and probably knowing that some of them aren't actually guilty, getting rid of people that you don't want to see anymore. I don't know if it's just in their genes or what it is, but they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And you can see it. You could see it play out at that trial the entire time. Also, I mean, we'll get to this, but Buster doesn't even freaking cry. He doesn't even talk for his mom's behalf. I mean, there is just like, there's no empathy whatsoever. And I don't know how you can live like that. How can you raise somebody like that? I don't know. So anyways, there was a date scheduled for him not to go to trial, but there was some sort of court hearing coming up. But Paul unfortunately never made it to that because shortly before that court hearing, he and his mother were brutally murdered on June 7th, 2021. I'll get into the brutal murder, but let's talk about what happened between 2019 when he killed Mallory until 2021 when he was found murdered. Well, there was a whole year of a pandemic. So I think that's like a bust of a year, right? They probably were with each other a little too much. I can imagine that at this point is when Paul and Maggie got real annoyed with Alex's pill problem. Because as we know, Alex, same person, but the dad had a pill problem that both Paul and Maggie knew about. So I'm like, if you are, remember in 2020, I mean, we like didn't leave the house. I'm sure it was a little different in South Carolina.
Well, Paul did actually leave the house. Do you know that I just read that he went boating regularly? Can you imagine your son is awaiting trial for killing someone in a boat in a small town? And you're like, yeah, son, go take the boat out.
You know what? I can, because in those tapes of Alec talking to Buster from prison, he asked Buster if he wants to go back to the crime scene to go hunting.
Because there's those deer have not, you know, eaten any of that food in those stands. So they're just prime.
They're just prime. I mean, Buster, do you want to go out to where your brother and mother were brutally murdered and they had to like scrape up the brains off the floor? And then do you want to go like shoot some animals? Because that wouldn't be fucking traumatizing.
Right.
I mean, how like my mind is just like blown. Yeah. I'm like, how, like, you are the worst human
ever.
I can ever.
They are.
Yeah. Ever. Okay. So anyways, I guess he's boating on the boat. Doesn't give a shit that he just killed somebody on probably that same boat that he's taking out. But I know that Maggie and Paul found more and more pills. Paul, I guess, was called a little detective by his mom. Also, this pill problem stemmed back further from 2020. You know, I mean, shit, I could think we all could probably pop a couple too many pills in 2020. But this pill problem went long before that. And actually, their old housekeeper, nanny, she was kind of like a housekeeper. She was Paul's nanny when he was a baby and younger, but then became a housekeeper kind of after that.
So kind of an extended part of the family. They didn't want to get rid of her. She had a close relationship with them. It's said that the boys really adored her. She'd been with them for like 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
So she also found pills and she passed away in 2018 from injuries that happened at the house. And I will tell you about that in a second. But we also know that Maggie started distancing herself from Alec during this time before these murders. They had multiple properties, like I said, and she started staying at one that Alec wasn't staying at. Her friends claim that she possibly was going to get the big D, and I mean divorce, right? The Murdaughs then get sued by Mallory's family, rightfully so. And they also have this criminal case ahead for Paul. And so
it's important to say the reason why Mallory's family was suing civilly was because no one was charging Paul with anything. And if they brought on a civil suit, then all the kids in the boat would have to be deposed. Mm-hmm. So they were really just doing it because they just wanted some accountability.
Listen, I think they have every
right
to sue.
Yeah, I get it.
I would sue Also, you have taken away my life. You are going to fucking pay however I can get you to pay. And at that point, they're like, this is the only way I can get them to pay because
right,
they're not doing anything in the courts. They own the courts. So yeah, I can right, at least civilly sue them and something has to be done, right?
Make the truth come out. Yeah.
Yes. You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone, and I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year, and I really love the French language, so I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And they have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is, it starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences, and then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Nobody's trying to have that. Enter Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Genius! You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run again. Refills start at just $2.25. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine, y'all. When I received my first shipment of Blue Land, I was blown away by how this simple concept just makes so much sense. It's so easy. You just drop the tablet into the stylish functional bottles and get your clean on. I love the subscription option because I am not trying to get one more bulky item in my cart. Blue Land products really get the job done and leave my home smelling so fresh and clean. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this, guys. blueland.com/clink for 15% off. Okay, let's talk about the big O, listeners. Obesity. 4 in 10 Americans struggle with it, so there should be no shame in the weight game. RO Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Row Body Program members have support throughout the process. Row helps handle all of the insurance paperwork to help get the medication covered. If eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. You can sign up from the comfort of your own home. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/clink. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/clink. Hello, listeners. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers online therapy, which is something I have personally benefited from and believe in. We all have life stresses that can be overwhelming. For me, it has been a game changer to have an online therapist who helps me navigate and reflect on life. I have had to work on setting healthy boundaries and my tendency to internalize, well, everything. It is heavy business, but I can't tell you enough how freeing it is to work through it. And personally, I find it easier to be open while talking things through from the comfort of my couch. It's so convenient. Online therapy for me has really meant becoming a better version of myself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/clink today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/clink.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, MyLifeInABook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book. So here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let My Life in a Book choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice. And My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, MyLifeInABook.com. All right. So now let me tell you what happened June 7, 2021. That was the day Paul and Maggie were murdered. Maggie gets a call from Alex to meet at a property that they call the Moselle property, which is not where she had been staying. So that's a little sus. She told her friends that day that it was strange that Alex wanted her to go out there and she thought he was up to something. Now, I don't think she thought he was going to kill her, but she probably thought he needed to talk to her about some bank document or some shit, right? I know she had said that to her housekeeper that Alex's dad was really sick, and so maybe it was something about that. So anyways, the Moselle property was their hunting property. It was really big, like 1,800 acres. And they had dog kennels. It's like this area on the property where they had working dogs in kennels. And these are like hunting dogs. They also boarded their friends' dogs there. Paul loved this property. He spent a lot of time there with his friends and family. He would hunt and fish and probably have a shit ton of fun, I can imagine. It was a great place to hang. That particular night, we know that Alex and Paul were there for a short time before Maggie arrived. Paul, I think, was there from about 7 o'clock. Maggie arrives at around 8 o'clock. We know that Paul was there with his dad chatting away near the dog kennels at around 7 because Paul Snapchatted his dad, and his dad was wearing khakis and a blue shirt. Okay, so make note of that.
You know, one thing I do want to interject is, because I was not clear about this during the trial and everything, I kind of had to look it up myself, is that the dog kennels are a pretty good distance from the house.
Yes.
Like they're not close. Like she would sometimes, Maggie would take like a golf cart or whatever down there. So it's like, it's a mission to get there.
Yeah. So you need to take, I mean, you could walk there, but you're not going to be walking there if you have a golf cart at hand.
Or if it's at night.
Or at night. Yeah. Maggie arrives at about 8. They eat dinner, according to Alex. And then after they ate, he took a nap while Maggie and Paul went out to the dog kennels. According to Alec, he hopped up from his nap just after 9 o'clock and decided to go check on his mother, who had dementia, at a place they called Almeda. So he calls Maggie a bunch of times, like 4 or 5 times, and he calls Paul, and then he texts Maggie, and what he says is going to check on Ema or something like that. Be back soon. Okay. When he returns at 10:01, he calls Maggie with no answer. So he goes up to the dog kennel area where he finds his son and wife brutally shot to death. And he calls 911 at 10:06. This is the story that he gave police over and over and over. Very calm, very concisely from the get. He's interviewed hours, just hours. I mean, like what he calls at 10, they interview him in a cop car at 1 a.m. And I'm going to play that for you right now.
911, what's your emergency?
This is Alec Murdoch at 4147 Moselle Road. I need the police to answer immediately. My wife and child just shot badly.
Okay, you said 4147 Moselle Road in Allison?
Sir?
You said 4147 Moselle Road in Allison?
Yes, sir. 4147 okay. Moselle Road.
Stay on the line with me, okay?
Hurry.
Yes, sir. Stay on the line with me, okay?
Okay. Collin County Communications.
Collin, I have an Alex Murdoch on the line, caller from 4147 Moselle Road. He's advising that his wife and child was shot.
Okay, and sir, give me the address again.
It's 4147 Moselle Road. I've been up to it now. It's bad.
Okay. Okay, and are they breathing?
No, ma'am.
Okay, and you said it's your wife and your son?
My wife and my son.
Are they in a vehicle?
No, ma'am. They're on the ground out at my kennel.
I was up at the house, laid down, took a nap on the couch, probably, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes. I got up, I called Maggie, didn't get an answer, and I left to go to my mom's. She had said.
So, you know, he says, I had dinner and I did not go to the dog kennels. I think it has something to do with this boating accident. And he is not, every interview, have you watched all these interviews? It's just, he's so calm.
Well, it's interesting that he would bring up the boating accident right away. One of the things that I was just watching Maggie's sister's testimony mm-hmm. is that she says in the day that followed, they were all like scared. They were scared for Alex. They were scared for Buster. They were scared for themselves. Like, gosh, you know, we got to find who did this because it's so there. Clearly
they
somebody
should,
did this on purpose. Who knows who else they want to kill?
Right.
And she says he was not concerned.
No, he
about
wasn't.
That. He wasn't concerned about that. In fact, the thing that came out of his mouth was he was concerned more about clearing Paul's name for the boating accident than he was about finding out who killed him.
Yeah, that is very telling. They also said that the whole family was like, we have to find out who is doing this. And they were calling the police and they were calling to see what kind of evidence they had and who was like the lead suspects. And Alec was never calling to figure it out. And we've done a lot of cases where, or a handful enough that we know when the spouse is not calling to find out, it's usually comes down to the fact that the spouse did it. You know, it's if somebody killed my loved ones, especially my children, I would not get off the phone until I had every detail. Like you would have to bring me the murder suspect or I would call every day. And he didn't do that.
Yeah.
He didn't. Okay. So media picks up that story right away. Once those two are murdered. I mean, Nancy Grace was all over it. And she did say on the stand, or not on the stand, on her show, she says it's an angry vigilante that, you know, was mad that Paul killed Mallory. But what everybody didn't know at this time was that there were so many skeletons about to come out on Alec. And you know what? Police didn't really know either, right? So I'm sure at first that they kind of thought it might be some crazy person that wants to kill this family.
Well, they didn't. They still, even though they'd had kind of a fall from grace, you know, they still didn't treat him like they would have treated anybody else. You know, they didn't haul his ass down to the station.
Who?
And say,
Alec?
You know, and say the police. Yeah, Alec. Yeah.
But he hadn't really had a fall from grace yet, or not that the police knew. Yes, it was about to come out, but they didn't know.
Yeah. That I mean, that people hated the family because of the boating accident, but.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But still, he still wasn't treated. Yeah. So he still wasn't, he wasn't treated like a normal criminal.
No, dude, you always look at like the husband first, but I guess he has like an alibi. He was at his mom's house, like. Supposedly, he even says, look at my phone. I called Maggie at this time. And so, but they don't know all this fall from grace that he's about to have. They don't know that Alex is actually in a ton of debt. They don't know his life is a hidden volcano about to erupt. They just like everybody else, I think we're thinking like, rock, dude, it's some crazy person because two guns were used. An AR and a shotgun. So presumably you would think there were two killers. Alex's friends rallied around him at this time. They even helped him with his financial troubles. They bailed him out. They loaned him money. Did you know that? I mean, that's like,
no.
Yeah, they did right after. I think like a couple hundred thousand more dollars were loaned out to him. But less than 3 months goes by and Alex's money troubles are reaping their dirty little head because the friends and family realize that, yes, they kind of realized that he was stealing money from his law firm, but I don't think they realized until this point that it was millions. And they were about to fire his ass. On September 3rd. That very next day, he gets confronted by a friend that he owes a couple hundred thousand dollars from. And ironically, Alex gets a flat tire that day on the side of the road. And while he's changing a tire, because I can really see this guy in khaki pants and a fucking button up tucked in, changing his own tire, this person pulls up on the side of the road, some random stranger, and shoots him in the head. I mean, sure. If the family has somebody coming after them, it's got to be that person, right? The news crews are all over it. How on earth could this happen? These poor people. Alec immediately draws up a sketch of a young white man with super, super short buzz cut hair. He goes to the hospital and shortly after that, like the next day, by the way, the bullet must have just like grazed his head, right? I mean, there was nothing crazy wrong with him.
Yeah.
He admits that he has a pill problem. He resigns from his company, I guess, because they were trying to save him a little embarrassment because, you know, they were firing him, but. Okay, he resigns from his company and he admits himself to rehab. We see this with
celebrities, because that's where you go when you don't want to get arrested because they can't come get you.
Right. Well, I feel as if people admit themselves to rehab to say I'm guilty, but it's because I had this addiction. That's why I stole $3 million from you, you poor people that needed it way more than I did. So not long after this shooting on the side of the road, we actually find out that it isn't this young white man that shot Alex. We find out that it's his drug dealing buddy, long lost distant cousin, Curtis Smith, right?
Yeah.
Curtis, he goes by Cousin Eddie. Don't fucking ask me why. I don't know if that's his like drug name or what. But Alec admits that he hired Eddie to kill him in an attempted suicide so that Buster could collect. It's like a suicide murder, basically. Like, Alec wanted to commit suicide, but he couldn't commit suicide because he had this life insurance policy that he didn't realize that even if he did commit suicide, he would have got the money anyways. And he
Which
was
is why
leave.
I think, by the way, I tend to believe more of this Cousin Eddie guy, because Alec is an attorney. He knows how to read a life insurance policy, right?
It's fake news. Alec is not going to kill
His
himself.
His story just does not make any sense.
By the way,
I don't understand.
Alec,
he wanted to make it.
He says
it does none of it. That part is like is a mystery.
It still is a mystery. But what I believe is that he called this guy who he had been paying a lot of money to for drugs. I don't know what else he was paying this guy money for. It's a lot. It was like $2.3 million over the years. It's a lot of money. Could he spend $2.3 million on drugs, on opiate pills?
It would have been hard.
I think he owed this guy money for other things.
It would have been hard. I don't know. He did not look like someone. From my experience with people on opioids, he did not look like someone who was doing that $2.3 million worth of drugs. And people have attested that he did not. We all know when someone is popping pills or whatever or something. We know you can smell it a while away. They have a drink and then all of a sudden they're wasted or, you know, like whatever.
100%.
People are saying that was not the case for him.
No.
You know?
I think he did have an addiction to them. Sure. Was he taking 60 to 100 codons, whatever they're called, a day? I don't think so. I mean, I tried to read like if people have done that before. And there were a couple nurses that had said they had seen or they had actually had some people that said they did, but they were like, we don't believe it. And I don't know if I believe it either. Like, I do think he was taking some, probably a lot, but he also functioned as an attorney. He also was super smart. He stole all these people's money. He had it together. People say he was so charismatic, super nice guy, always doing stuff. You know, trust me.
Yeah.
My husband had to take like a handful of those pills because he had that kidney stone. He was not functioning as well as he usually does. Okay. So anyways, I think he called Cousin Eddie to the side of the road, which is now Eddie's story, or Curtis, whatever the fuck you want to call him, is because he's like, hey, help me with this tire. Curtis is like, sure, whatever, bud. Comes there. And then I personally think he was going to kill Curtis. And it was like Curtis was going to
kill him. Yeah, I mean, that would make more sense. Because
Curtis.
What Curtis says is, yeah.
And then that's the guy that killed.
Curtis says that he was like, hey, you're going to kill me or something. And they got into, there was a scuffle with the gun.
Right.
Because Curtis is like, if I was paid to kill him, I wouldn't miss. I don't miss.
He wouldn't,
you know, whatever.
Missed.
And so then there's this scuffle with the gun. And he's like, this is so bizarre. Yeah, I believe that too. Because he admits he was there, and he says, and then he fled the scene because he's like, I don't want to be mixed up in all this. This is totally bizarre. Why did this guy just call me to the side of the road and then
have like,
you know,
a scuffle with
have
the gun?
Guns.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe so too. Curtis is, you know, I think he's got, you know, a few colors in the crayon box missing. He also is a meth head. They found meth in his house. It's clear as day. He is a drug addict. So the guy doesn't have it all the cylinders are not shooting off the right way. Okay. So this poor guy is like just doing what this rich guy who's been paying him fucking shitload of money wants him to do. And then take that guy out. Alec doesn't give a flying F about him. He's like nothing.
Yeah.
To society and Alec's point, right?
He's so just a pawn in Alec's game, but not sure exactly how Alec thought it was going to play out, but it did not go the way Alec intended. We know that.
No, it didn't. But I don't think that.
And I don't even think, I don't even believe his whole, like, I wanted the $10 million, you know, life insurance policy to go to my one remaining son, because I don't think he even gave a shit. Also, his dad was on like death's door, this wealthy family. So wouldn't Buster have still gotten, I'm sure that kid has a trust fund. Like he had already still be taken care of.
The dad had died by the time he had tried to kill himself or kill Curtis or
all those properties, I'm sure have been paid off forever. Like Buster was going to be fine.
Yes, kind of. Yeah, probably. I mean, from his grandfather, but not from Alec because Alec's like in tons of debt. But yes, you're right. That is fake news. That is not true. I know he went up on the stand and said that he's a liar, liar, pants on fire. He is the biggest liar, liar, pants on fire. If anybody like, he's the biggest. I don't think I've seen someone like him yet. This is all new to me. All right, my friends, I am going to make this a two-parter unexpectedly because this episode went on for so long and it's just best if we break it into two. However, let me tell you, the second one is dropping at the same time. So if you're done with this one and you have extra time, just click to the next episode. If you have to get to work, then come back and on your drive home, you get the next version. I wanted to wrap it up in 1 hour, but it just took a little bit longer. So you guys understand this case is a lot. And I like just brushed the surface. Also, Thursday, we're going to have a very special guest on that is very, very close to the scene of the crime and knows all things Low Country. So if you are not a Patreon member yet, please join us now. I think you'll like it. And then if you don't want to go on Patreon, then go to Apple subscription and subscribe there. Thursday, we are going to talk more in depth and get kind of the behind the scenes, what it looks like to actually live in the Low Country when this is going on. And then again, go to part 2. Clink, clink.